The cheese-loving inventor Wallace and his faithful dog Gromit have returned in the new animated film The Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
I'm in the mood for food! Gromit, old pal, I'll need assistance.
Animator Nick Park created the much-loved Wallace and Gromit characters, the ones familiar from such animated comedy shorts as The Wrong Trousers and A Close Shave, both of which won Academy Awards. Park recently learned that his first full-length movie starring Wallace and Gromit, the new Curse of the Were-Rabbit, had sold enough tickets in America to be crowned the box office champ on its first week of release. That was the good news. The bad news was that a warehouse fire at Aardman Studios, where all of Park's stop animation films are produced, had consumed all the props and sets from his previous films. Well, almost all. The original plasticine figures of Wallace and Gromit were with Park at the time of the fire and are safe. Aardman Studios was founded in 1972. Nick Park was hired in 1986, straight out of film school, and has been there ever since, creating Wallace, Gromit, and lots of other charmingly eccentric and lovable animated characters. Park's previous full-length film, Chicken Run, was directed by Peter Lord, chairman of Aardman Studios, who has worked with Park for 20 years. Terry spoke with Nick Park and Peter Lord in 2000 when Chicken Run was released. Her first question went to Peter Lord.
It's so funny that you're doing this very sophisticated kind of animation with this kind of comparatively unsophisticated style of animation, really literally moving around clay puppets. At the same time, that the big animation is the computer animation that everybody seems to be using now. Do you feel like you're living in another world than the computer animated people? Do you feel like you're in just another dimension altogether?
People often ask us about this, understandably, because computer animation is very visible. And, I mean, our attitude is always very simply, well, why can't the two coexist? You know, why on earth should the new technology push out the old if the old works? You know, why should a synthesized instrument replace an acoustic instrument? Why should it? No, it obviously, evidently shouldn't. The two, in a sensible, sane world, the two will coexist. So I hope that will always be the case. Having said that, it is kind of ridiculous. I mean, our technology is quite so old-fashioned, you know. But heaven knows it works. And also, you know, because it's hands-on, which it is, it consists of animators in studios handling clay models, and because also, strangely to your listeners, it's like a live performance. And that may sound crazy because everyone always talks about, you know, the words agonizing and painstaking are always on our lips. It is a slow process, but it's a live process because you've got your puppet, and your puppet is going to walk across the set from point A to point B. When that puppet sets off in the morning, you have no real way of knowing where it's going to go to. You know, you guess, of course, you approximate, you rehearse, but you don't know exactly. And when you're halfway across the set, you still don't know precisely where you're going, and you don't know, and you certainly can't go back. Just as in real life, you know, you're a performer on the stage. You start the performance, you don't know exactly where you're going, and you sure as hell can't change what you've already done. And in that sense, what we do is live, whereas computer animation and conventional cell animation isn't like that, because you can do the last drawing at the same time as the first drawing and then fill in the spaces in between, or if it's not going well, you can easily revise it. We can't easily revise what we do. The only thing we can do is shoot it again.
Nick Park, most of your animations have bizarre contraptions of one sort or another in them. In fact, before I ask you the actual question, why don't you describe a couple of contraptions from your Wallace and Gromit movies?
Right. What from, you mean A Close Shave?
Sure.
There's The Wrong Trousers, which are ex-NASA, in fact, that are actually bought from an ex-NASA store in Wallace's neighborhood. And, you know, Wallace uses them to... They're covered in rivets. They're very round and robust, and have a sort of 1940s feel. And I guess same too with the Knitomatic machine in A Close Shave. That's all covered in copper sheeting and rivets and that kind of thing, and lots of arms and lots of Jules Verne, you know, H.G. Wells, and Victorian technology, I like to describe it as.
Yeah, and like the knit-o-matic, you put a whole sheep in one end of the machine, and out comes yarn, and by the end of the machine, I think a little sweater is coming out. These bizarre contraptions. Now, your father was an inventor. Did he make contraptions?
Well, he wasn't. I don't think I would describe him as an inventor, but he did make a lot of things. He spent his time in the shed making things.
What kinds of things?
Well, a lot of household things, you know, just shelves, that kind of thing.
Made that caravan. Did he make a caravan?
Oh, that's right, yes. That's what made, after making the first Wallace and Gromit film, A Grand Day Out, I realised one day, he's so much like Wallace, because I recall this childhood experience where my father built a trailer, you know, from scratch. It was like just a room on wheels, like a living room on wheels, and with beds inside, and made everything, and wallpapered it with furniture, and it had furniture and chairs and all that kind of thing. And the whole family, seven of us, went on holiday in this caravan.
Were you taken to any unusual factories when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Boy, I had this terrible experience of going to a chicken slaughterhouse. When I was a kid. I was actually a student at the time. I was doing a summer job, and I was working at a chicken packing factory, folding up plucked chickens and putting them onto trays and feeding them into this great big machine that wrapped them for the supermarket. And actually, one day I was sent down to the slaughterhouse, because they were short of labour there, and saw some pretty horrific things there. And some of those ideas from both those experiences have actually come through and been used in Chicken Run.
Your characters of Wallace and Gromit, which are so popular now, tell us if you kind of patterned them on anyone you knew, either in real life or in the movies. And I should say Wallace is a British man who's very stuffy and proper sounding, but in reality he's really not very bright. Gromit is his dog, and the dog is the smart one who reads books like The Republic by Pluto. So who's behind these characters?
Boy, I don't think I ever really consciously based them on anybody particularly. Wallace, perhaps, you know, when I think about it, you know, for reasons that I've given, he is very close to my dad, who, you know, he was like an inventor and made things. But I think it's his attitude, actually, the way he'll just get ideas and go about doing them without thinking. And he'll be, my dad isn't insensitive, but Wallace is very insensitive another influence, actually, he's very much like an old music hall character that's very much known in Britain, in the north, comes from the north of England, who plays a banjo, ukulele, and called George Formby. And he was very popular, I think, before the Second World War. And he's got a very similar accent and very similar attitude to Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it wasn't very conscious. You know, to base him, he isn't based on him, but I think these influences have found themselves in Wallace.
At the end of Wallace and Gromit films, at least at the end of a couple of them, Wallace always yearns for some cheese. Mm-hmm. So why don't we end our interview with finding out about cheese? Why why does Wallace want cheese?
Well, how do ideas come about? I think the single reason there's cheese, because it all starts when Wallace and Gromit go to the moon to find cheese, and I was trying to think of a reason why they would go to the moon. And then, you know, we record the voices first, and I recorded with Peter Salis, the actor who plays Wallace. It's just the way he said, "Cheese, Gromit!" And that made such a nice mouth shape for Wallace. It was such a nice thing to have him get his chops around, that cheese stuck, and it appeared in all the other movies. In fact, there's a very short little story that there's a factory in the north of England that makes a type of cheese called Wensleydale cheese, and we made Wallace say Wensleydale one in the third film in a close shave, and just by doing that, it actually put the cheese factory was on its last legs and about to go into liquidation. and it put the cheese factory back in business.
Are you kidding?
And
that's funny.
The Wensleydale Cheese Factory.
Well, I want to thank you both so much.
Thank you. Great pleasure.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
Nick Park speaking with Terry Gross in 2000. His new animated film is Wallace and Gromit and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit. This is Fresh Air.